Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for November 27th, 2022 is based on Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon title is Spiritual Ancestors.
Our second reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abuid, and Abuid the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, present from the beginning of time and for whose return we are waiting. Amen. Well, in case you're new to the congregation in the last 6 months or so, or maybe you've been here for a while but just didn't realize, as I mentioned earlier, there are a couple times of year when we adopt a theme that guides our time together. We usually do this during the season of Lent, which are the weeks leading up to Easter, and also during the season of Advent, the time leading up to Christmas. For the past 2 years, we've used resources from a group of pastors called A Sanctified Art. And they produce all of those beautiful, colorful devotions that are in your devotion packets that you have hopefully picked up or will pick up today. And the theme this year for Advent is From Generation to Generation. Here are some words about the theme from Reverend Anna Strickland, one of the team's creators. What is so beautiful about the Christmas narrative is that it is not simple. It isn't just one person's story during a single year. It's the story of Mary and Joseph, shepherds and magi, Elizabeth and John. But it's also the story of Ruth and Jesse and David and Isaiah. All of these individual threads over centuries woven together into the story of God's conventional inbreaking coming to us. And the Christmas story is our story too. The tapestry God is weaving did not stop in Bethlehem. Our own threads from generation to generation weave into the narrative of God's incarnation in the world that proclaims the Advent promises of hope, peace, joy, and love. Well, I realize that our reading today from Matthew is not the most exciting gospel reading we'll hear throughout the year. Lectors, also known as readers, who typically come up here, like Audrey did, to read that first lesson, are wiping their brow today, thankful that I, not them, had to read that list of difficult names that make up Jesus's genealogy. In fact, prior to going to seminary, whenever I would come across these lists of names or hard places in the Bible to pronounce, I would just skip past them. I mean, what can I really learn about the nature of God from 17 verses of names of people I've never met or heard of? And so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, and next page. Let's be honest. By raise of hand, how many of us have at times just skipped past the hard names and locations when we read the Bible? Yeah, me too. Yeah. But when I humbled myself to admit that I don't know everything about the Bible and that I'll never know everything about the Bible, it opens me up to be able to hear new perspective and insights into texts that I thought I either had figured out or thought were maybe insignificant. So when the authors of this theme from generation to generation said, week one, you're going to read this list of names from Matthew, I kind of groaned a little bit. But then I spent some time reading and praying about and studying this list of names. And I was quite surprised at how much I learned from a passage that in the past I would have just skipped right over. Part of this passage is this play on numbers. Numbers play a big part in our faith. For example, in total of creation, including the last day of rest, how many days were there in that creation story? Seven. It's not a trick question. Seven. Okay? 7 days in that total story of creation. Seven is the number for completion or wholeness, right? Everything was created and God rested. Everything was whole and complete. So it's no accident that this author of Matthew lists 14 generations in each section. 14 being double the amount of completion, right? Perfection from one major patriarch to the next. 14 generations from Abraham, the founding father of our faith and other Abrahamic faiths. 14 generations all the way to King David. 14 generations from that great King David to the last good king that Israel had before the Exodus, King Josiah. And 14 generations from arguably the Jewish people's lowest point of the Exodus to the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah. Three sets of 14. And I'll give you a little hint, 3 plays a big number in our faith as well. This was done very deliberately by the author because, and how do we know this? It contradicts some of the genealogy found in the book of Luke, who includes a much longer list of names in Jesus' genealogy. So there's a definite intention by this author, and we can find meaning not only in how many people are listed, but which people are listed by the author. And maybe someday we'll have a little Bible study about that. And while all that information gives us great insight into the author of the gospel, which is important for us when we read the rest of Matthew, the question that we often turn to is, how might this speak to us in our lives today? For that, I was struck by this quote from Dr. Christine Wong. She says, just as Christ's genealogy reveals relationships across time and space in his life, many of our names also tie us to the generations who come before us and those who will come after us. Matthew lists the names of Jesus' forebears as a marker of hope, finally realized from his promise. Even today, names are the seeded hope of one generation planted in another. They are the thread that connects our histories, stories, and futures. We are the hopes of those who've come before, and we live in hope for those who will come after us. In this great tapestry of Jesus' ancestors, we can see how the Jewish faith and their beliefs about God were lived out and passed down from one generation to the next. Each thread, each person listed, playing an important role in living a life for God in hopes that God would bless them and their family for generations to come. Little did they know, these ancestors that are listed here in the beginning of Matthew, that eventually God would enter into their family tree in the form of Jesus, God with us. In the act of God coming down to us in Jesus, we are given a new way to continue to grow this tapestry of faith. The way we share and live out our faith is changed because of the life and the teachings and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And the Christian faith has continued to evolve over the years because of the continued revelation of God to us. Those evolutions of understanding are handed down to us from our spiritual ancestors, all the way from Abraham in the Old Testament to whoever first encouraged us to check out church. And the way that this tapestry of faith continues to grow is through the sharing of our faith with others. Not sharing in some cheap, insignificant way, like leaving a flyer on someone's car window in the parking lot of Kroger, but in a real, loving, relational way of loving others and inviting them to join this community of believers who have found hope and forgiveness in Christ. Throughout Advent, we are going to be looking at this theme of from generation to generation, and each week we'll kind of have a different theme to it. This week our theme was ancestors. And we have a little Advent altar set up down here with the blue tablecloth here. And throughout the season of Advent, we're going to encourage you to bring items that match something or spark something in you from that week's theme and place them on the altar. Now, we previewed this a little bit in our newsletter and had a little thing in there. If you wanted to bring something today to place on there, you could. And in a moment, we'll give you that opportunity. But in the weeks to come, as we place these items on this altar, we are lifting them up to God as a tapestry of our prayer. Prayers of thanksgiving and also prayers of hope. Today, we lift up our ancestors, those who taught us the faith. If you did bring a picture or an item that reminds you of someone, you can bring it forward at the time of communion and place it there on the altar. Also, we have some paper and pens there if you'd like to write the name of someone who was influential in your faith life. We encourage you to write that down and leave it there on the altar. Those items will remain here through the season of Advent as we continue to prepare and as offerings continue to grow on that altar. And then you can take them home after Christmas Eve. I want us to close with this thought today. Having been taught by the faith of Jesus and the faith of our ancestors, how are each of us called to now add to the tapestry of God's story? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.